We're back on Sports Medicine Weekly, and a reminder to please follow us on Facebook, Twitter. Our Twitter account can be found at SMW Home, H-O-M-E. We're also on iTunes and webtalkradio.net for convenient access to podcast archives and all resource links. Please visit our website, smwhome.com, also optimized for your smartphone. Our producer this week, Peter Cohen. Tree Sanseeger does such a marvelous job as a co-producer, always getting everything organized. I'm Steve Cashel with Dr. Brian Cole. So happy you're with us here on Sports Medicine Weekly. And, boy, something you know a lot about, Dr. Cole, ACL injuries. But what's with the epidemic with ACL injuries in our young people? Hearing more and more stories. And I know there was a recent article in the Chicago Tribune talking about a young woman who had her right knee popping and buckled back when she was 11 years old, had a torn ligament, but surgery delayed for 2 years because she was still growing. We've talked about the growth plates before, and then never went through the surgery, and now at 24 years old, thinking she has lifelong consequence because she is in constant pain. So yeah. How do you assess something
like
that?
Well, you know, the challenge has been that ACL injuries were typically a injury of a relative adult, you know, growth is done and so forth. But over the last 10 years, there's been about a 400% increase in the incidence of ACL injuries in our youth. And as we've talked about before, females are about 8 to 10 times more commonly sustain an ACL injury.
Why?
We can talk about that in the segment. I mean, there are some anatomic issues. In other words, the way their knees are built, the pelvis tends to be obviously wider, so that leads to being more knock-kneed and how they land and weakness and so forth. I think that would be a great thing to touch on during this segment. But it's the epidemic, I think, is coming because our kids are have so much more opportunity. Our girls since Title IX have so much more opportunity for sports beginning when they're skeletally immature. They're faster, stronger, more powerful. It supports our collision sports to the nth degree, and there's just more opportunity to get hurt. I think that speaks to why I think we're seeing this epidemic. And, you know, in my office, it used to be when I remember, you know, say 15 years ago, probably wouldn't see a skeletally immature ACL, but more than 1 in 10. Now I would say it's 2 to 3 in 10 are still have growth remaining, and that's not an exaggeration. Now maybe that's a reflection of how practice patterns have changed and so forth, but on a weekly basis I'll see a skeletally immature ACL tear. And it has a lot of challenges that our adult patients don't have, which was the focus of that Tribune article a couple weeks ago, which talked about they have the open growth plates, and there's some controversy. It used to be we would just say, well, just live with it until your growth is done, and then we'll go back and reconstruct it. But think about if your kid had torn ACL and was playing a sport, okay, you're not going to play for 2 years. That's a big problem if there is a viable alternative that's not going to cause any downstream consequences. Think about asking them to stay out of sport. I mean, what would your kid do?
Yeah, be devastated. Absolutely.
Right. Yeah, and then you've got all that time on your hands, and that's how we get in trouble. So I think the downside risk, has we've learned, has been minimized, and we treat most kids now with modifications of the technique that are end up with an adult ACL, but we do some things that are a little bit different to avoid
the growth
plates.
You're talking about surgery, though.
Yeah, I mean,
surgery, you can.
I've operated on 8- and 9-year-olds before.
Okay.
Three sport athletes.
That doesn't bother the growth plates?
Well, techniques that we have learned and now have experience with that help, that we can actually drill holes to avoid the growth plate.
Nice.
The real issue is, the problem is when there's growth remaining, these growth plates cross the joint, and that's how they get taller. There's a longitudinal length or growth that goes through there. And if you injure it, if a kid, for example, has a fracture, forearm fractures, elbow fractures really common, they break their elbow. They, as they get older, they start to get deformities in the elbow because part of the area that was fractured stops growing, and the area that's has not been injured continues to grow, and they get an angular deformity. In other words, their arm will grow at an angle. The same thing could theoretically happen in the knee through a surgical trauma. So if we drill big holes and tether the growth plate so it stops growing, it can theoretically lead to long-term consequences. But fortunately, we haven't seen that, and it's almost relegated to case reports. It's not a common thing. But we're still faced with really difficult decision-making with these young kids.
Let's bring our next guest, David Heidloff, from Athletico. We talk so often about the great work that Athletico does. David is an athletic trainer with Athletico and specializing in identification and treatment of concussions. We've talked about that. But we want to talk, David, if we can, about ACL prevention And this epidemic, as we talked on and touched on in ACL tears in young people. So welcome, David, and tell us a little bit about the best way when parents are thinking about how to keep their kids safe and what kids can do and how we prevent things like this.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me on. As Dr. Cole stated, a big reason why we're seeing this increase in ACLs has a theory has been posed that it's just strictly because of the increased amount of exposure to potential injury incidents that happen from
overuse,
some overuse, and just year-long sports. Mm-hmm. You know, with more people competing in soccer 10 months, 12 months out of the year, that just increases the number of chances that you have to tear your ACL. So one of the things that we try to talk to with parents is making sure that children are cross-training, that you're not spending all 12 months of the year on just one sport. Doing that, you know, spending 12 months playing soccer, you end up physically fatigued, and you also end up mentally fatigued, where you might be a little bit, you know, lazier on a cut. As Dr. Cole can attest, you know, you can cut, you know, a million times in your life, but it only takes one lazy or one fatigued cut, and it can dramatically alter, you know, the health of your knee for the rest of your life.
Wow. So, David, what are you guys doing at Athletico? Let's talk about what you guys specifically work on with this ACL prevention.
Yeah, one of the main things that we're doing, you know, especially over at my affiliate, is
where is that?
Oak Park River Forest High School.
Okay.
We work with 1,700 athletes there at
really?
The high school.
Are you the only? How many athletic trainers do they
There's
have?
Two of us there.
Okay. Are you the main one?
We're co-head athletic
okay.
trainers.
Okay. And do you split sports? Or
We split sports up.
Okay.
But one of the main things that we're trying to do is take a preventative approach to ACL injuries. And one of the best things that we've found, at least anecdotally, is looking at what we'd call biomechanics, or the way that you use your body in space, you know, when you're landing, when you're cutting, when you're pivoting, when you're in those high-risk movements. And what we do is we try to train our athletes on how to better use their bodies so that they're more safely completing these tasks and, you know, not putting themselves at risk unnecessarily. You know, that does require a decent time commitment, not only from us, the athletic training staff, but also from the coaching staff to give consistent feedback to our athletes.
Is that like learning how to fall the right way?
Yeah, that's a big part of it. You know, and speaking of theories as to why these things happen, you know, transitioning from, you know, when people used to grow up, they would play, you know, learn, like jump off of rocks and just learn naturally how to fall. You know, with more and more people getting away from free play and more into organized sport, you don't get as many opportunities to fall at awkward angles. So what we do is we'll, you know, have people, you know, jumping off of boxes, and we'll videotape that. We'll use, you know, like an iPad, iPhone, sometimes a video camera, go back and go over that with our athletes and be like, hey, in this position, your knees went what we call, you know, like a valgus knee angle or knock knee, and that's a dangerous position to land in because that really predisposes you to an ACL tear. So what we need to do is we need to work on your landing mechanics and also figure out if there is some strengthening exercises that we can do to help reinforce these good patterns that we're trying to develop in you.
David Heidloff is our guest from Athletico. I want to stop right here, Dr. Cole, and ask you a question, because when I first learned about people who fall the right way land the right way, I often go back to when we were covering Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen, okay? And I was doing the TV with Norm Van Leer and then the radio with John Paxson and Neil Funk. And I remember, you know, when you're sitting courtside, I always used to watch and marvel at how well Pippen and Jordan specifically fell. You know, when they landed and they got knocked off balance, they always slid. And I always wondered, and we talked a little bit about the strength and conditioning guys, that they were taught how to do that. I don't know if Phil Jackson had some influence with that, but I always marveled at that. And tell me if I'm crazy, but it was really something, because these guys always would fall, and it's hard to describe on radio, but they would almost like land and then just kind of drag on their bottoms, you know,
yeah,
fall the right way,
it's
almost with their feet up. I mean, it seemed like that whenever they fell, though, that they were almost in a position to really make sure that they weren't in an awkward position, I guess,
yeah.
What I'm getting
well,
at.
Well, a part of being in an awkward position is being out of balance. And
mm-hmm.
some of these guys are such incredible athletes that if you just watch how they are functioning out of balance so much, yet stay on their feet, or if they go off their feet, they still have the wherewithal to activate these protective mechanisms.
Exactly.
So I don't think it's – I'm not sure it's a conscious effort, if you will, but I
they
think –
They were never taught that, but it was just a natural instinct?
I don't believe so. I mean, okay. It's not like skateboarders or skiers and things like that. I think it's just an issue of athleticism, and they may get thrown off balance or operate off balance on a regular basis, but they somehow can defy gravity in a way that you and I could never do it, you know?
Well, and you look at – I mean, Scottie Pippen never suffering a major injury. Michael Jordan, I think it was an ankle back in his, was it rookie year? Never a knee or anything.
You ever see Michael's hands?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you're right, though. Those are not major injuries. Those are just – that's just the cost of doing business.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So back to David here in athletic training, and let's talk a little bit about David, if we can – some of the things that parents can be looking out for at home. I mean, you guys do such a great job in recognizing that at Athletico. But is part of it just overuse? Or, I've got two kids, and I always relate to these guys, 9 and 6, my two boys playing ice hockey, baseball, basketball, football. And I'm almost worried now that it's too many sports, But what can we do at home to kind of keep an eye on them to avoid injuries?
Well, I think the idea of, like your children specifically being 3-sport athletes is a great idea, because you're not going to get the same type of fatigue and burnout playing 3 different sports as opposed to 1 sport all year round. So, that's a step in the right direction. I think just looking for signs of, your children becoming lethargic, when it comes time to practice, or if they're seem to be, like sleeping more than usual. Any signs that, the amount of activity that they're doing seems to be too much would be a sign of overuse.
David, if you had to think of 3 things you could tell a parent who's got a kid playing high school sports, and maybe you guys do this at Oak Park River Forest, I don't know, but I've actually offered to do it at – my kid just started a school in the city at Latin to go and provide an education, actually with one of the other trainers from Athletico, to provide an educational overview of how to avoid overuse, but not only that, just some of the high-risk patterns and what they can do as young athletes to prevent injury. What would you tell parents, best bit of advice?
Best bit of advice would be just knowing your child's limits and having an open dialogue with them about how they're feeling in their sport. Some athletes that we work with are afraid to bring up to their coach or to their parents that what they're doing might be too much. So encouraging that open dialogue honestly goes a really long way.
Yeah, I think that's a good one, because these kids are ill-equipped sometimes to deal in that setting. They're intimidated. They worry about lost minutes. They're just often not good communicators. So having parental involvement at that level without, of course, humiliating the kid, which could be a challenge in and of itself, the hands-on parent versus the proactive parent can be a real tough one in that environment. But keeping in mind these kids are often not well equipped to deal with some of these issues, that's probably a very important one.
Let me ask you both, the parent involvement or the parents being aware of growth plates, Dr. Cole and David, when it comes to like ACL surgery. Dr. Cole, you went through that with the growth plates and how you're now able to kind of avoid affecting the growth plate. But is that a big conversation, though? And are parents aware of growth plates? And, are you careful here with what you're doing with my son or daughter's knee with this ACL surgery because I'm worried about future growth?
I think you see it in 2 areas, largely. We see it in the upper extremity with overuse injuries and where growth plates are open. So there's a little leaguer's shoulder and little leaguer's elbow, which happens in skeletally immature growth plate open athletes, okay, where they basically there's so much repetitive traction or tension on the growth plate that they get severe inflammation and sometimes actually fractures with the growth plate. So that we see that in our baseball pitchers who are throwing curveballs before their time, before they can shave, breaking balls. We've talked about it. And we see in our shoulder athletes where they come in and their growth plates are basically they're just completely inflamed on x-ray. You don't see inflammation, but you can see x-ray changes on their throwing arm versus their non-throwing arm. So overuse injuries will lead to growth plate problems. And then the second issue is what you alluded to, is if they have a specific problem, such as trauma that either fractures a growth plate or they actually need something corrected that would otherwise violate the growth plate, it's an important issue. So they have to know how to ask the right questions. And we've learned a lot of the last 5 years, as I've alluded to, and how to manage these things. And I think we're doing very, very well. But there is a real important decision-making tree that we go through to make to finally make a recommendation on how to treat these things.
And how about on your end, David? Same thing with parents asking questions and worrying about when their child can return to play and get back in the game following surgery?
Yeah, I mean, that's always a pretty big concern, and we try to always be realistic and honest with them about, you know, when you can expect to return to play, no matter what the injury is. You know, you always have to be upfront and honest about what that whole transition is going to be like, you know, regardless of, you know, whether that's good news or bad news.
Right, the kids usually itching to get back, right?
Yeah.
They're more on the less conservative end, right? They
exactly,
want to get
yeah.
back, and when can I play again? Yeah. When can I rejoin my team? And you guys got to be realistic about, you know what, let's think about a future here.
Yeah, exactly. We think, you know, 2, 3, 20, 30 years down the road, and a lot of times our athletes are thinking, you know, 5 minutes from now, and that's about it.
All right. Tremendous. David Heidloff from Athletico, our guest here on Sports Medicine Weekly, talking about the epidemic ACLs injuries in young people, and also the some of the functional sports assessments and administering the tests and training that goes on to keep these people healthy. Stay with us. More of our show, Sports Medicine Weekly, comes up after these messages.
On ESPN Radio.